I knew I was going to be very successful because I discovered the things necessary for success and I was determined to practice in them.
In this apt message, Your Finances and You, Pastor Chris shares amazing truths that would extricate any believer from any form of value creation constraint. Be blessed as you listen.
I want to give the concluding statements on what I began to discuss with you yesterday on Your Finances and You. We discussed what is finance, right? The independence of finance, under which we talked about three important ideas: unlimited environment, unlimited resources, unlimited amplitude. Do you remember that? So, those are important ideas, I said, to help you think about your finances as a child of God. Now, let's come to this next part, that is the Word of God on your finances. All right? Why is it so important that number two that we just talked about, the independence of finance or finances, why was that so vital to the subject? Because of what the Word says. Now, the beautiful thing is many of you are doing very well financially. One could say, why are we even discussing the subject? Well, because there is a system out there that is designed to get money away from you. It is designed to rob you of your money. It is designed to frustrate you financially. Let me explain. One of the great leaders of nations in the last few decades, Ronald Reagan, made an interesting statement. As president of the United States, he said, "Your government is not your friend." Now, that is really interesting. Your government is not your friend. If you understand the workings of government and the science of government, you will observe very quickly that governments in most nations of the world do the same thing. I'm going to read something to you. In one of the Your Loved specials, I read some scriptures. I think I should explain to you from here. In 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us from chapter 8, actually you can begin the story even earlier, but in chapter 8, he explains to us how that the people said to Samuel, "We want a king. We want to be like other nations." So on earth in those days, the various nations had their kings. But Israel had no such king. The Lord was their king. That's what he said. The Lord was their king. So one day, they came to the prophet Samuel, and they said to him, "Your children are not following your footsteps. So we don't know what they're going to make us do. They take bribes. They're very bad guys. And you're old. So now, make us," you look at that in verse 5. "They said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Did you see that? God said, go ahead, give them a king. It's not you they rejected. He said, they rejected me. So from God's perspective, he was rejected. He says, they've rejected me that I should not reign over them. So he says, go ahead, give them a king. So they said they want to be like other nations, all right? Then, verse 8, "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they do also unto thee." So God's telling Samuel, the way they treated me is the way they're treating you right now. So don't be bothered. "Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." It says, these don't understand yet what those other nations are going through. Here's how those kings function. He's going to tell him now. They said they want a king like other nations. He says, protest to them and tell them the manner of the king, the kind they're asking for. Here's what they do. So there was only one nation whose government was different. And now the people of that nation say, we don't want this kind. We want to be like others. So he says, verse 10, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people and asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots." God didn't need that. When God led them to war, without instruments, they won the battle, and they got the spoils. They got the armory of all the others. They got everything. They didn't have to make any. That's how they got their weapons. They didn't make. They defeated their enemies and got the weapons of their enemies and became richer. But now, he says, you're going to have to start making your weapons. And God used extraordinary ways to defeat their enemies. So it didn't matter what weapons their enemies came with. They won the battle. Now, they're going to be working, living according to the limitations of their king. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers, and he will take your fields. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodless young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. They won't stop, he says, until you are his servants. They won't stop. Why? Because until they get the people to penury, until they successfully take the people down and remove their financial abilities, they themselves will not trust that their positions are safe. So part of what they're advised by their tutors is not really how to make their people rich. Contrary to what the people think. Ask yourself, how many nations have been made rich by their kings, by their governments? Every now and then, you have a good president or prime minister that comes into office and tries to help the people, then they make sure he's out. Don't take so long before he's either killed or somehow they get him out of office. They find ways. Because there's a group that believes it's their divine responsibility to remain in office and to dictate who rules. You think they want to give up the power so easily? Often, except they are violently overthrown, they never leave office. Study your history. All nations have been that way. All nations. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which he hath chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. So the governments are not set up for the same purpose that the people think. It's been that way. It's been that way. A new government comes in and the people are like, wow, 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 this will be our... No, it's only for his servants. It's only for those who are connected to him. They are the ones. They will get everything that belongs to others and give to them. Until another one who does not like them gets into office and you collect from them and give to his own. So the people remain what? Poorer and poorer and poorer. They use several means. Either they use taxation or they devalue their currency. The devaluation of the currency, what does it do? It impoverishes the people. So they didn't tax you more. They just reduced what you had. The power, your purchasing power has been depleted. So don't look at government in a local way. Look at it in a global way. Understand this. By that I mean, don't, like you're in Nigeria, don't look at government in a Nigerian context. You have to look at government in a global context. Why? Because Nigeria is in the sight of those who want to rule globally. It's not outside. So it's part of their target. So they will not sit back and say, oh, Nigeria is prospering over there. That's wonderful. We would like to do business with them. No. No, they would like to control Nigeria. They would like to influence Nigeria. And not only Nigeria, every country. They would like to. So it's all in their sight. So don't think in local contexts. Think globally. And that's why when we pray, we look at it from a global perspective. When I say pray for all the nations. Because Satan is not interested in some individual countries by themselves. No. He thinks globally. Satan thinks globally. He wants everything. And he doesn't stop until his subjects are completely crushed. Today, they tell you that the Nigerian Naira is at a certain exchange rate. All right? Did you ever think anybody one day would say the Nigerian Naira has gone so bad, it's 1,000 Naira to a dollar? What in the world does that even mean? We don't need anything in the dollar. So why should that even be a discussion? There's a reason. Because those guys loaned money to Nigeria in dollars and they don't want you to be able to pay back. So they determine your educational system, they decide a curriculum, what the kids will study in the school. Because they have to make sure your kids never get to know the truth and compete with their kids. We are still studying stupid things in our schools. I'm not even talking about the ones from the LGBTQ. I'm not talking about that one. That's a mess on its own. I'm even talking about what was so-called academic in nature, which was never academic. It was a deception. And so they control agriculture, control banking. The conditionalities policies of the World Bank or IMF are cruel. They are cruel. They're designed to be crushing to the nations. I've asked a question before, several times in the Yellow World specials. I said, which country was ever helped by the IMF or the World Bank? And that country is very successful today. Name one. There's none. There's none. And they don't like us to say these things. They don't like us to say them. They don't like us to say them. And so they got some of our best, brilliant students many years ago. They're still doing it. And they gave them scholarships to go and study in the United States, in Europe. where they indoctrinated them on socialism and sent them back to Nigeria to fight as socialists. And they came back here bearded, calling themselves Marxists, to destroy our universities. And our people were unsuspecting. Unsuspecting. These guys went there, they can speak the German language like real Germans. I'm talking about Nigerians. They speak the Russian language. They speak those languages. And they bring them back here as lecturers in the universities, and some of them into government, to completely rewrite both our history and our future. So, you have to understand the wisdom that God gives in His Word. And when you understand that governments have been like this, and in the midst of these fraudulent systems, in the midst of these fraudulent systems, God knowing how fraudulent they were, He still said to you that you will prosper. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Not in their absence. So already knowing, He said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. In the midst of wolves. So He's not ignorant of the system. So He didn't tell us these things or give us this information so that we can be dejected and say, ah, this world is so terrible. No, He wants us to understand the wickedness of the world in which we live. But then He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So in the midst of their wickedness, He gives us His Word. The evil shall bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. He said so. That means good has more power. It has power over evil. So we don't have to be pressured to be like them. We don't have to be pressured to be like them. We don't have to wonder, where is justice then? He told you before, promotion does not come from the east or west or south. He says it comes from God. So even if that guy is the one responsible, for the next level, and he doesn't want it, it's not in his hands. It's in my Father's hands. It's in my Father's hands. So my success is not in the hands of so-and-so, so-and-so. No. It's in my Father's hands. And I know who I am. I am. That's my first point under this one. There are three of them. You got to get this. You got to get it. I said, God's word on your finances, the first thing you must understand is who you are. See, who you are. In the midst of these trials, in the midst of a dark world, in the midst of hopeless situations, who are you? I know who I am. You know, this should get you excited about the warfare. good versus evil. And we're winning. The more we hear about how terrible the enemy is and how strategic they have planned, it should get us excited. You see, the problem is if you don't know who your enemy is and what he's doing. If you don't know, then how do you know how to fight? You can't talk so much of victory when you don't even know who the enemy is. But when you know him and you know how he's strategized and how he's planned everything out, so you know where he is. Like when God told Jehoshaphat, he says, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. He told me exactly where they're coming up from. He says, here's what you're going to do. He says, you're not going to need to fight. They had lots of weapons. Three nations against Judah. And God said, you will need to fight. He said, I'll tell you what to do. Just praise the beauty of holiness. He says, the battle is not your battle. Do you think he has changed? He hasn't changed. Who are you? I am the seed of Abraham, the friend of God, to whom the whole world was willed. We own everything. So all other guys are thieves, right? Yeah, because we own everything. It all belongs to us. We are the only ones who actually have a document that states clearly whom this world belongs to. Nobody has got one. There's no document in the whole world that testifies who owns the earth. I'm not talking about who made the earth. It's already clear God said he made the earth. But I'm saying, who owns it? If he made it, who did he give it to? Is there any document? Is there any proof? Is there anything written that can be testified to? Our Bible declares it. It says that God willed the world to Abraham and his seed. That's the guy with the original certificate of ownership. For the whole world. And the Bible says, the promises that were made to Abraham and his seed were made to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, he says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So everyone else is a thief and a robber. Speak in tongues. You got the right point to speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. I'm the seed of Abraham. The world is mine in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole earth is mine. Man tokora bakasaya lengre diga bahas. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah. So that's number one, who you are. See, the reason for my idea of an unlimited environment, unlimited resources, unlimited amplitude, because I know who I am. Number two, what belongs to you? You got to understand what belongs to you. See, it's one thing to know who you are. It's another thing to know what belongs to you. Can we read something from Colossians chapter 1 from verse number 12? Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers, sharers of the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We are sharers. Look at the next one. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated. Look at the tenses. Delivered us. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Think about that. Satan has no dominion over me. Satan and the courts of hell have no dominion over me. They have no authority over me. I don't belong in their jurisdiction. He has no control over me. Next verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In that 13th verse, there's something so powerful. It says, who hath delivered us from the power, from the jurisdiction of darkness. He delivered us from the jurisdiction of darkness, from the authority of darkness, and translated us. So, where are you now? Translated us, not he's translating us. We're not in the process. We're not on our journey. Look at it again. In heart, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So I belong in his kingdom now. Now. Oh, so I'm not limited by the earth. I'm not limited. This 2024, you're going to make finances supernatural. See, I'm going to practice supernatural finance. Are you going to do it? Listen, you're going to practice it. I'm going to practice supernatural finance. I'm going to explore what God has put within me. Supernatural finance. You're going to do it? You're going to do it. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Some are not more of his children than others. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That means faith brought us into the family. That's what he's saying. You became a child of God through faith. Your faith in Christ Jesus made you a child of God. That's what he's telling you. Not the casual, erroneous idea that some people have when they say, I have it by faith. And they're trying to say, I don't have it yet. That's what they're actually saying. I don't have it yet. I'm trying to get it. So to read something like that, they don't understand the Greek expression. So they go, children of God by faith. In the same way, they say, I have a Rolls Royce by faith. No. That expression in the English is, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, meaning you're children of God being made so through faith. Faith brought you in. Your faith in Christ Jesus made you children of God. See that? Okay. So, we're reading next verse. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. This is amazing. So, you've been baptized into Christ. He says, you are now wearing Christ. You've entered into Christ. It's, imagine that you got into a sack. All right? Like this, these bags of beans and rice and so on. Think of a big one, all right? And then you open it and you entered inside. Inside the sack. That's what it means. So you're inside. You've been baptized into Christ. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. How marvelous. So, when they say, you know, the Jews are so blessed in Christ Jesus, we are all one. Right? There's neither Jew nor Gentile, born nor free, neither male nor female. You say, is that what the LGBTQ is talking about? No, this is spiritual. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Look at the next verse. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. I have all the money I require in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have all things. I'm prosperous. I'm prosperous. Prosperous, supremely prosperous. This year, decide right from your cell level. Okay? You're going to be the biggest giver in your cell. Start like that. You're going to be the biggest giver in your cell. Start like that. The biggest giver in your cell. And walk your way. Walk your way. In the church where you are. All right? In the church where you are. The biggest giver in your cell, the biggest giver in your fellowship there, and until the biggest giver in the church. And watch what God will do in your life. This year, your salary is just part of seed. It's just part of seed. You understand what I'm saying? It's not going to decide the level of your life. It won't decide the level of your life. It will not decide the level of your life. And we're starting correctly. This is January. We're starting at the early parts of January. So you're going to watch your life grow. So this is my year, right? Say, by the power of the Holy Ghost, 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 this is my year. Number three. Now remember, number one is what? Who you are. Number two, what belongs to you. Number three, your rights in Christ. Your rights. And we even actually have a book with that title, don't we? Your rights in Christ. You know, there are people who don't know they got rights in Christ. They were never taught they had rights in Christ. So they begged for everything. They begged God for everything. Oh, Lord, please do this. Oh, no, no, no. He doesn't want you to beg for your rights. If the thing is your right, he doesn't want you begging for it. He doesn't like you begging. Discover your rights in Christ. What are your rights? What is my right? Do I have any rights? Sometimes we want to fight more for our rights in the Constitution of Nigeria than we even have an idea of our rights in Christ. Sometimes we're thinking about my rights in this department. What are my rights in this department? I want to know what are my rights. Have you ever thought about your rights in Christ? They are greater and better. They completely supersede all your rights in the department. Anybody can try to deny you of your rights, but he will never deny you of your rights. And if you appeal to him, he will work beyond all errors and make sure you have your rights satisfied. He will work beyond all errors. You say, they held my salary back 5 months now. Report the matter to him. Do you get it? escalate the matter to him. Don't complain about the people. No, don't complain about the people. Don't complain about those who are holding your stuff back. Mm-mm. Escalate the matter to him. Why? Because in the scripture, he gave you a clue. He told the disciples, in teaching them how to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That means our daily supply. So he has daily supply. He doesn't wait for every month. There's a budget. There's a budget that includes you every day. Every day. And you see, you didn't know it before. Let's look at it like this. You didn't know it before. And for some, even though you heard about it, you didn't know how to claim it. The good thing about that scripture and that particular budget is there's no expiry date. And no one was authorized to collect it in your behalf. Not even the devil. No one can steal it. So all the ones you didn't collect before, in arrears, is part of your rights. If you put this thing to work that I've just told you, you find things happening. Money will be coming to you. In fact, start putting it to work right now. All what you didn't collect before. There's a lot for you in arrears. If you discuss this with men, they'll try to wangle their way out of it. They can't consider paying you that much. But he will not complain. Tell him that because of your ignorance, you didn't know, and you didn't know how to operate it, so you didn't collect sins. Now you want to start collecting all the past ones and the present ones. The Holy Ghost was sent to teach you about your rights in Christ. When you say these things, there are those who may laugh at you, but when the things start happening, they won't laugh much, much longer. Just do what I've told you. Did you hear what I said? All right, now, in conclusion, I'm going to read several scriptures to you. There are several of them. Let's see, from three books, four major portions. I'm going to just read them to you. You getting ready for that? Okay, the first one from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am in my wealthy place in Christ. Hallelujah. He's brought you into a large place, a wealthy place. Glory be to God. Say, I'm a prosperous man or I'm a prosperous woman. I am prosperous. Super prosperous. Second Corinthians chapter 8 from verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything. Are you abounding in everything? As ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge. No, there are people who are good. They're really good in faith, in utterance, in knowledge. They understand this stuff, all right? And they're practicing these things. They're putting faith to work. They do the faith work and the faith talk. And in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence, he says, and in your love to us. They're great in all of this. He says, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. You can read from the first verse all the way down. He's talking about giving. He says, I want you to abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. You're going to abound in the grace of giving. Become a giver. All right? Don't think first of what you have left. Did you hear me? Don't think first of what you have left. Because if you think of what you have left, you won't give. And that is not the thinking of the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham has a mentality of abundance. Remember, I said understanding, number one, who you are. Number two, what belongs to you? So if you actually understand who you are and what belongs to you, you cannot have a mentality of lack. You can have a mentality of having your stuff diminishing. It doesn't diminish. You shall lay up gold as dust. Glory, hallelujah! So we're reading that scripture. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So given is a grace. See it? Given is a grace. Say, I have the grace of giving. I have the grace of giving. I have the grace of giving. That's what I told you, that in your fellowship become the biggest giver. Once they're talking about giving, get excited. You know, engineer yourself to be like that. Once they're discussing giving, start getting excited. Start getting excited because of what you're going to do. And if you're not sure what you're going to do, speak in tongues. The Spirit of God tell you what to do. Next verse, verse 8 now. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He wants to say something. All right. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Interesting. And herein I give my advice. Oh, you want to hear the apostle's advice? Interesting. Here I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He's telling you something. I'd like to read it to you from the Amplified Translation, the AMPC. You'd love what he's telling you here. He says, it is then my counsel and my opinion in this matter that I give you when I say, it is profitable and fitting for you now to complete the enterprise. You see it? There was a project that he had announced to them. They were going to put some money together for the saints in Jerusalem. So it's like this project. So you can give it a name. Okay? Say Project Jerusalem. Do you get it? So they're working on that. They're putting money together. So he says, which more than a year ago, you not only began, but were the first to wish to do anything about contributions. Now he puts it in parentheses, about contributions for the relief of the saints at Jerusalem. He said they were the first to wish to do anything. In fact, what the Bible actually tells us is that they signified what they were going to do, like they made pledges. See it? They made pledges. Next verse. So now, finish doing it. That your enthusiastic readiness in desiring it may be equaled by your completion of it according to your ability and means. For example, maybe you made a pledge. He says, fulfill your pledge. All right? Now, sometimes, like some people, would make a pledge beyond their ability. And when comes time to pay, they're unable to pay. Here's the counsel that this apostle is giving you. Start paying according to your ability. He says, because God would only hold you responsible for what you have, not what you don't have. I'll read it further. Let's go from that 11th verse. It says, now finish doing it, that your enthusiastic readiness in desiring it may be equaled by your completion of it according to your ability and means. For if the eager readiness to give is there, then it is acceptable and welcomed in proportion to what the person has, not according to what he does not have. Do you get it? So perform the doing of it. Because in that doing is where the blessing is, not in making the pledge. So if you couldn't pay all your pledge because you didn't have it, what about what you had? Won't you begin? Won't you please at least give according to what you have? Because you pledged not to man but to God. Are you following this? All right. So, we read that one. I want to read another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So, how do you want to sow? You want to sow to reap sparingly or bountifully? The choice is yours. Make the choice. Make the choice. Those people who said that, I don't know what all those names, but there was one that they said something sweet. They said they were, that if you gave them a certain amount of money, in 2 weeks, they would give you something of a huge percentage, more than 100%. They kind of like doubled it or tripled it or something, and then you got this huge amount. So, some went and they gave them money. And really, they got the payback. It was big. They had to borrow uncle, auntie. They collected from other people to increase how much they're going to put into it. Because if they put that much money into it, they're going to get this huge amount that they can divide it for everybody. It worked. Then they started coming late to the office. Why do you have to go to the office when you can make this money? Their bosses didn't find them again. I don't mean just here. I know there were some here, definitely. But in several places, they had them. In Lagos. So, they borrowed money from more people. Some even asked for loans from their offices. What do you want to use it for? I just need it. It's just urgent. They got the money and they put it there. in 2 weeks, you can come back. I'll pay you. I'm going to pay you. You smile back home. 2 weeks came. They didn't get any signal. Nothing. They were just smiling what they're going to do. Their partnership is going to rise to the surprise of their pastor. This partnership is me and God this time. They didn't ask God whether they should put money there. God already made a better promise since. There was a better one since. Than this money doubler that they went to. Three weeks passed. They hadn't gotten the money yet. By the fourth week, they started speaking in tongues. No devil shall hold my money back. The devil is a liar. By the fifth week, all those they collected money started calling them on the phone. What's going on? Say, just relax, relax. And you know what? Eventually, those people didn't get their money. Some were paid a part at the earlier stage to keep them from telling other people that there's trouble. Those things have happened again and again in history. Happened again and again. Oh, my dad was a victim of that kind of a thing. He was the president of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in National of their chapter. So, they were doing this thing. So a guy came to them to sell the idea to them. Very Christian. Very, very Christian. So my dad put in money. It worked. He got his money back. He put in again. It worked. This time he needed to increase how much he was going to put. So he decided, he knew that telling me this kind of a thing on the phone wasn't going to work. He said, I'm coming to Lagos. I'm coming to see you. So he came. And then he explained to me this thing that they were doing. And it's full gospel. I said, Daddy, I don't really believe these people understand what they're doing. No. You know, my dad was an economist. So he had understood, he had studied, he checked everything. Everything was okay. The man is very high integrity. That man is high integrity. They've done it. He's already done it like 3 times. It's very okay. And all the people that did it, they all paid their money. It's very decent. The man is very decent. And apart from the one he wanted me to give him, he said, you can also do. I said, Daddy, no, I won't do. I'll just give you your own. I won't do. So he said, okay. So he left. He never got it. Never got it back. Till he went to heaven. Never got it back. See? So, I'm saying to you, God's promise is more dependable than all the promises of men, even established banks. Aren't we aware how banks have been run down and people lost their money, lost their investments, including central banks? Ask those in Greece what happened to them. That was more recent. So God's word is more dependable than all of those people. So he says, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Yes, he is dependable. Amen. Next verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Next verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have in all sufficiency in all things. And I told you that place you read, in all seasons, may abound to every good work. Glory be to God. These are scriptures you should meditate on and practice. Right? Next verse. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, his righteousness remained forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Enriched in everything. Say, that's my life. I'm enriched in everything, in all seasons. I love that song, We Hail from Deity. In one of those lines, my glory life or my glorious life is on now. Right? What a song, what a line. So my life of glory is on right now. My life is a daily celebration of truth. Is on. Glorious things are happening with me right now. They're happening with me right now. You are quiet, sister. You don't know you're supposed to say this. Glorious things are happening with me right now. Listen, this is important. Go to Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14 from verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say, take with you words. I'm giving you words with which to talk to him. It says, take words. If you don't have the right words, you're going to be saying the wrong ones. My life of glory is on right now. Remember, words are seeds. Words are seeds. So I'm giving you seeds. Words are seeds. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know what he's telling you? He's telling you to make complete your salvation. That is, bring it into your practical life. So the term work out So Christ has saved you. Now put it in your practical life. Now work it out. So your daily life in the salvation of Christ that is wrought for you is how you work out your salvation. It's in your daily life. You work it out. Salvation has been made complete. Now, you complete that process in living it out. Now, he says with fear and trembling. It means with reverence and awe. Why did he say that? I'll tell you why. He lets us know that our daily life is actually Christ manifesting himself through us. So it's a holy thing when he says, work out your salvation. So when I talk to people, Christ is talking through me. When I deal with people, Christ is living through me. So he wants me to understand the holiness of this endeavor, this work of righteousness, so that I don't think it's just myself. It's Christ working out his purposes and his righteousness through me. It's a holy thing. And therefore, as you see results, don't add pride to it. He says, work it out with reverence and awe. So Christ is doing this through my life. So my life becomes always full of thanksgiving. So when I deal with people and Christ has manifested himself through me, I get back and I'm full of praise to God. Thank you, Lord, for doing this through my life today. Thank you, Lord, for manifesting yourself through me. Thank you, Lord. With reverence. Not with pride. Are you following this? Okay, let's read it properly. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, even the will to do it, he's telling you, it wasn't of yourself. Wasn't of your brain. It was God that made you willing. And it was God who made you do it. And worked out his purpose through your life. So do it reverently. Hallelujah. So God is at work in me. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm right now, in this moment, in the place where God wants me. Right now. See, if you're sitting, you say, right now where I'm sitting. If you're standing, you say, right now where I'm standing. Right at this moment, I'm in the very place. I'm in the very hour where God wants me. And from here on, from now on, I walk in the center of God's will and purpose for my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Oh, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in me. God is working in me. His wisdom is at work in me. His knowledge is at work in me. His righteousness is at work in me. His love is at work in me. His faith is at work in me. Monta cobra sika randan glonde glera bagoska shalamahai. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Since don't get into unnecessary arguments. I love intelligent arguments. where you speak and then I speak. You know, we present our points so that we can see. You know, we can compare our points and both of us can get better by it. If your points are better than mine, we take your points. If my points are better than yours, we take my points. If we have to mix the two, we'll mix them and we go along. See, intelligent arguments for progress. Don't engage in foolish, fleshly arguments. Oh, you should see some people arguing about Arsenal and Manchester United. Now they're almost fighting each other. They're angry at each other. Over a goal that was scored and they said it didn't really pass the line, and these two people are almost at each other's throat. Their eyes are turning red from anger, and they are not in those teams. They are not even in that country. They're in Nigeria here. They're arguing. Useless arguments. Then there are arguments on good topics, good subjects, but no one is listening to the other. It's a shouting match. Each one is trying to dominate the other with the loudness of their voice. Fleshly. It leads nowhere. Nobody gains anything. At the end of the argument, they're angry. Each one is unhappy. They've raised their blood pressure. Don't find yourself in such useless arguments. This is 2024. Extricate yourself from useless arguments. You can enjoy intelligent arguments. You speak first. Let the person talk. When they finish, not like you keep interrupting. Let them finish. Make your points. Write down what you're going to say. When they finish, if what they have said isn't good enough, and you are not buying that, when they have exhausted themselves, you say, can I speak now? Listen, cast not your pears before swine. Give not that which is holy to dogs. If they're not going to listen to you, don't waste your time. Save your words. I reserve my words for the wise. I don't have words to waste. Think about it. When I speak, lives are transformed. Yes. Lives are transformed. People are changed. Salvation. So my words are important. My words are important. So why do I engage in this useless discussion that I'm not going to gain anything? No life will be influenced. Nothing will happen. God will not be even happy about it. It goes nowhere. Useless. So two of you are arguing in the office until everybody else has left because the place is getting hotter and hotter. No one can calm either of you down. It's enough. Okay, it's enough. Okay, it's enough. This one is enough. It's enough. No one is listening. Then all the members of staff that are there, they are all leaving the two of you. And the two of them were arguing for the others to listen. Because they don't listen to each other. They're arguing for those ones. Those ones are packing their things and leaving. It's the right thing. Pack and leave them there. You might come back and meet that they are wrestling. Since there's nobody to convince, throw punches at each other. Oh, let them fight it out. One day, yeah, I told a couple, they said they want to come and see me. I said, why? They said they've been fighting. I said, fight it out. They were so shocked at my response. You say you are born again. You're coming to see the pastor because you are fighting each other. Continue. Fight it out. When you are tired, then let me know. Glory be to God. What's the next verse? 15. That he may be old. This is so nice. Let's read 14 into 15 so you get it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. No grumbling.
I don't understand.
Nobody understands what you are saying. Only you. You can't even rest. You're trying to read. Not even the Bible can. You're just... Then you start looking. All you are seeing is what happened to you in that place. Let's pray. Distracted. I refuse to be distracted. That he may be 15. Look at it. Look at 15. That he may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God without rebuke. Do you remember Colossians? Unblameable and unrebukable. So he says that he may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. The word is stars. Ye shine as stars in the world. Glory be to God. Le caraba conta caraba casia. Lengre de grobo sata caramani. I'm a light in the world. I'm a star in the world. I'm shining brightly by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in me. I become lambent. Masha caraba sondalabahai. Glory be to God. Lastly, we'll read in James chapter 1 from verse 22. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen to all this. Now, perform the doing of it. Because it is not the hearer that is blessed, but the doer.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more titles by Pastor Chris, download the Pastor Chris Digital Library. God bless you.